Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew and the sixth chapter. I'm going to read perhaps one of the most known passages, even to people that are not Christians. Everybody has heard this before. It's called the Lord's Prayer. I like to call it the Disciples' Prayer. It's the Lord giving the disciples instruction on how to pray. And we're going to read verses 9 through 13. Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. If you would stand for the reading of the Word. And we will call today's message, Hallowed Be Your Name. Matthew 6, listen to the words of Jesus here. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Through this message, to our hearts, in our lives, and radiating all around us, Lord. That everywhere we would walk would be hallowed ground. That when we are in troubles, when we are in trials, pain, problems, pressures, persecution, or joy, great things happening, wonderful things going on, everything lining up just like we want, we would see life through the lens of you rather than seeing you through the lens of life. That we would be focused, fruitful, faithful for your glory. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, people have studied this so many times, and there's so many ways to break this down and go through this, and we're not really going to be doing a series on the Lord's Prayer, or like I like to call it, the Disciples' Prayer, or anything like that. I just want to talk about everything. What does Jesus say this life is all about? What is the ultimate truth to live by? You ever had that? You know, if you are trying to lose weight, or you're trying to get a date, or you're trying to get a car, or you're trying to sell your car, whatever it may be, you got one thought in your head, and you, like, focus on that. Okay, I'm not going to get stuck over here. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to move forward because I've got this goal in my head. Now, the Westminster Shorter Catechism has a question. Question number one is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Somehow we think, well, you know, but yeah, I get that's what I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't really like it. I'd rather, you know, am I supposed to be doing that when I go see the new Han Solo movie? What about when I'm eating potato chips? And, you know, I do want to kiss that girl. You know, what school am I supposed to go to? And life gets in the way. So sometimes those just become words. Sometimes we don't have a handle on that. It seems like that 5,000 or 5 million pound weight in a jar. It's like, I could never lift this jar. I can see it's there. But what does it really have to do with me? And I'm here to tell you today that you can get a handle on this. You won't live it perfectly, but that's kind of the point we'll get to. But what's the focus and the goal of life? You say, oh, I know. I'm not asking you to parrot stuff. Just to say it back, you know. I'm just going to repeat the Lord's Prayer every day, and then that'll be it. No, that's bland, boring, and empty repetition. I'm talking about life. How can we get life? What does Jesus say life is all about? How can we really feel empowered? How can it be where we're not just feeling like we're pulling a big chain and a big train, and rather there's wind in our sails guiding us along? Not that it's so easy. We have to row a little bit, but we're rowing a little bit, and then that wind is puffing. And then, you know, you get that synergy going. It's like, I'm working, the Holy Spirit's working, He's working in me to will and do of His good pleasure. This thing is going the right way. And even when bad things happen. Now, how do we categorize that in our lives now? If we're Christians and we know, okay, let's say, put it into categories. What's the goal of prayer? Or discipleship, whether you're discipling others. What's the end for them? What are you trying to get out of them? Or for yourself? Or we could use the big word, sanctification. You know, holiness, being set apart, living a life where you're battling sin and you're overcoming some. You don't overcome it all in this life. You're not sinless, but you do sin less. Amen? You don't have to do the same thing over and over. Right? What's the goal of that? Well, I just want to get rid of it. Amen? But there's something behind that. And worship. And then we did praise and worship. And I would tell you that hearing from God, if I'm expounding the scriptures correctly and all that, this is God speaking to us today. What's the goal of that? Well, I want to hear His name, get close to Him. Yes, yes, yes. But even those are just means to the ultimate goal. What is the aim? What is the focus of prayer, of discipleship, of sanctification, of worship? What's the aim of the Christian life? You say it's Jesus Himself. I agree. But let's talk about that. Now, we've been saying here a couple times already, the Lord's Prayer should really be known as the disciples' prayer. And this is a model prayer that has two parts. A little bit of teaching, a little bit of preaching today. Now, the first part is in verse 9 and 10. And it has three petitions. The second part is also three petitions in verse 11 through 13. And it's really easy to see when you look at the text. But the first part of the prayer focuses on God's greatness. What are the petitions? Right there in the text. Hallowed be Your name. That's the first one. Your kingdom come. That's the second one. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the third one. Now, the second part is very important also. You get this in your head right away. God wants you to pray for your needs. He wants to deliver on your needs. First part, three petitions. Hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, and then Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody got that one? Second part, verse 11 through 13, also has three petitions. They don't focus on God's greatness so much. They focus on our needs. All right, what are they? Give us this day our daily bread. That's the first one. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Second one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You could say, you know, your dependence on God, your forgiving spirit, and your holiness. You get to characterize those that way. Now, the first part, anybody with me? I hope so. The first part of the prayer has an eschatological sense. Oh, boy, there's a word. Eschatology just means the study of the end time things. Eschatology just means the future. Eschatological sense. What do I mean by that? Thy kingdom come! Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When is the earth going to be filled with God's glory in such a way that His will be being done all the time? Only when He comes back. Right? Hallowed be Your name. I want Your will to be done. I want Your name to be hallowed. I want, right, Your kingdom to come back. So this prayer really has an eschatological sense in it. It's saying, Jesus, come back. Everybody got a hold of that? All right, good. If I'm a good teacher, I take the hard things and put them on the cookie shelf where we can reach them. Amen? I'm hoping that I'm doing that. I need this help. But it has an eschatological statement. Because when the kingdom comes, that's when His will is going to be fully done on earth. That's when His name will be fully hallowed. What does it mean to hallow His name? You ever, let's say you are a lover of Elvis. So where would be hallowed ground? Graceland, right? Let's say you are a lover of art. Where would be hallowed ground? The Louvre, right? In France. You'd go in there and be like, wow, look at all these things. Look at this amazing, right? If you are a lover of the Chicago Bears, Soldier Field would be hallowed ground. And then you can imagine yourself walking out there and Sid Luckman playing, right? And you can imagine Dick Butkus or Mike Singletary. And no, I'm not a Chicago Bears fan, but I'm a football fan. Yeah, and that's old. Hallowed ground. So everybody gets the idea of hallowed ground. It's hallowed ground. Last week, on Memorial Day, many people visited Arlington, Virginia, right? At the memorial there. And that's hallowed ground where our soldiers, right, are buried. They gave their lives. Or you might go to the Vietnam, the wall there. Or you might go to 911, the trade centers right there. And it's hallowed ground in a sense. It's respected, right? Honored. Now think about that in terms of God. Much bigger, much better, much more treasured. trusted, held in awe, seen as magnificent, right? Obeyed with joy. Lots of people go to the Holy Land, right? Because it's hallowed ground. We walk in Galilee, right? We walk by the River Jordan. We see Mount Sinai, the mountain range of Olives, right? We think we know exactly where Calvary was, right? We go to Jerusalem. We see the Wailing Wall, right? It's hallowed ground. Now, let's say you're a major league pitcher. I could go on and on. And you pitched a perfect game at the Polo Grounds. Now I got somebody. That's San Francisco. That's we're talking about way, way before I was born. But you would walk out there and you think, wow. Right? I went to Michigan, and I like Michigan, and I walked on the ground of the big house, the biggest stadium, you know. Wow. Hallowed ground. This is where Tom Harmon played. This is where Tom Brady played, etc. This is where Bob Greasy's son played, Brian Greasy, etc. Everybody's got that. Girls, you would have the same thing, you know. This is the dress that Audrey Hepburn wore. You know, whatever it may be. But people know what hallowed means. Have I got that? Two parts of prayer, hallowed ground, we're good so far? Amen? So you're praying for God's name to be hallowed, to be fully respected and trusted and treasured. I know there's times in your life where you treasure God, you think, oh, thank God. And other times you're like, please, God. And we don't understand all that. This is a prayer to make that real. But in the meantime, the first part of the prayer is for you to be a representative of God's kingdom come to you, of doing God's will, of hallowing His name. So in order for that to happen, that's why the second part is given. A godly subsistence, right? A forgiving spirit, hello. A forgiving spirit, hello. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is based on forgiveness. If you're not forgiven from God, but if you are forgiven, people become forgiving people. Forgive us our debts as forgive our debtors. And you can just look at that and say, well, I pay my bills. I don't know about you, turkey. This is more than that. This is much more than that. And we could go into that, but that's not what we're doing today. But a forgiving spirit. Can I get an amen? Forgiving spirit. Let me ask you that when you don't feel like it, because there's times right now I don't feel like it. Godly subsistence, a forgiving life, and a forgiving spirit, a holy life, are part of glorifying His name, part of exalting His rule and completing His will. It's how you show that the kingdom of God has come to you. Father, Heavenly Father, that's why you wonder why I always start my prayers to Heavenly Father. This is why. Our Father who art in heaven, Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, I want that to show now because His kingdom has come into my heart. He lives within my heart, right? And so when you're doing His will, right, when you're acting as the kingdom has come into you and you're living that way, that's His kingdom come to you. And so you're praying, while it is yet to happen fully, make it happen fully, more fully in my life. Now, the first petition is that, this is going to help you. Don't turn off. This first petition is the main point of the prayer. And the other five petitions serve that purpose. What is the prayer? Hallowed be thy name. Everything else serves that purpose. Why do you want these things to happen? So that His name would be hallowed. So the prayer could look like this. Heavenly Father, my heart's desire is that your name be hallowed. And so I pray that your kingdom would fully come and your will would fully be done. Until that day, I pray that you would enable my life to be a faithful example of what that glorious day will look like when everybody will hallow your name. You're saying, Lord, one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And Lord, while that's not here yet, make it happen in my life so I can show an example of what this thing is going to be like. This is what we're doing at church on Sundays. We're rehearsing. We're holding court for King Jesus. Not holding court as in, you know, we're sentencing people and all that. That's not what church is about. We all have sin. We all have problems. We're saying, we know it, but we know who our Redeemer is. We invite you to be here. We want you to be here. We don't want you to identify with your sin. We want you to identify with Jesus. Whatever you did on Saturday, you don't then identify yourself with that and say, I'm a drunk Christian. I'm a this Christian. I'm a that Christian. And victimize yourself. No, you say, I'm a Christian. I trust in Jesus Christ. And everybody else might look at me funny. And everybody else might not give me respect. But I've got my safety, my satisfaction, and rest in Jesus Christ. That's who I'm identifying with. And that's what you're saying. Say, Lord, let me be an example that could be followed so that your name would be hallowed. Woo! Yes! Now, here's the deal. Some of us ain't doing it right now. Give me 2 or 3 minutes, I might not be doing it right now. We have issues with it, but that's why you pray it every day and why you put it right up front. That's the point. Life can overwhelm you. Life was overwhelming me yesterday. Oh, man. Something I did not want to do, I had to do. Then I had to do it a little more. Then I had to do a little more. Then I had to do it a little more. Then I get to do things I'm supposed to do. I'm a pastor. I got to do this. I got to do that. And life gets in the way, baby. Let me say something about being a pastor. I call some people my friends. They don't even know me from Adam. But if they say the right things in Jesus Christ, that's my friend. My friend Wade Burleson said this. He said, if you're really going to be a true new covenant pastor, that is a verb of service, not a noun of status. And boy, I forget that. Not that I'm all proud or whatever, but the service part, I just say, okay, I'm not knowing now the status, but do I also have to do the service? And your car gets messy, right? To go help somebody that they're not doing things right in the first place. Oh, that guy just is drunk. Oh, if you would have ate better, you wouldn't be in the hospital. If you wouldn't have stayed out till 2 o'clock, and I was up till 4 anyway, and I'm here. Right? So we forget. We're not always hallowing his name. We're thinking about life and what other people are doing to me and causing me pain. And when you're a pastor, that's your job. Let people stick pins in you. But that's what we all do. That's what we parents do. Hello, parents, right? Amen? Right? Yeah. Wait till your parents, kids. Wait till your parents. It's not pretty. Well, the point is that we're not always doing it. Because life overwhelms us with pains, with pressures, with problems. We have physical and financial problems. That's why we need daily bread, right? Relational and mental problems, you know, guilt, things like that. You need to be forgiven and you need to be forgiving. You know, holding on to that anger is like drinking poison and hoping someone else gets hurt from it. We have moral problems. We need to be led from temptation and to be delivered, right? That's what we need. But you have a heavenly father that's better than any earthly father. Please, if your earthly father or mother weren't no good and all that, I'm so sorry about that. But Psalm 27:10 says, if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. You say, well, they haven't forsaken me, but they're passed away, or I don't know who they are. Give yourself to the heavenly father. He's better than any earthly father. He knows what you need. Matthew 6:32 in the same passage says, he knows what you need before you pray for it. You're saying, well, then why do I pray? I know my wife loves me, but I want to hear it. And I want to hear it in a special way. And when I do something in a certain way and then she notices, says, I love you, we have that special, ooh, we caught each other, you know, ooh. We were looking at our little granddaughter yesterday and she does this little thing with her body and it reminds us of another granddaughter. And, ooh, she's just a little model. Look at her. She's so cute. I love her. Right? And she noticed the same thing. Did you see her do this little thing? Yeah, it's really neat. We all do that. God wants to develop a relationship with you. He knows what you're going to pray. He knows what you need, but he wants you, you know. Yeah. He's concerned with your specific needs. What's he going to do? In the Bible, put down every single need of 7.5 billion people, or is he going to categorize them? He's going to categorize them into these needs. He wants to talk to you about them. The second part of the model prayer follows that pattern. Heavenly Father, I have this problem, I have that problem, please help me. And Jesus is saying this is good and right. We're not going to sit here and say, Jesus, and hallowed be thy name. So I'm just going to sit in a corner till it makes, can I get zapped, and then I'm going to go out there and live it. Woohoo! No needs. No way. He wants you to have needs. I want my children, my grandchildren to fall down, go boom. Why? So they can learn to get back up and the value of that. And learn sometimes those scars are signs. Yes. See, you're not trying to sell a Jesus where everything works out so good. Just come to Jesus and everything will be so good. No, you're telling them about the true Jesus where, you know, you have to go through pain, problems and all that, but we've got a real remedy for that. Not that they all go away, but that we can still worship him through that, and that is power. It's good and right to pray for your needs. You ought to be doing it. Amen. But remember how Jesus says to start this prayer. It starts with God. And for good reason. God doesn't promise you deliverance from all your problems in this life. If you're in a church that says that, they're lying to you. Oh, we're so exciting. I don't know what else to say. Now, you might just be hearing it wrong. Be a little charitable. Maybe they're not doing what you think, and maybe you hear that from us. And there's different emphasis, different things like that, but the consistent message of the New Testament is that if you're going to follow Christ, you're going to have to take up your cross, right? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him. Deny yourself. You don't want to do it. Take up your cross. It's going to hurt. Follow me. Means you're not in control. Wow. What a message. No wonder a lot of people leave. Well, that's the way that it is. But there's something in that, that if you discover that, and everybody's like, how can you, you've got gravel and ashes in your mouth, and yet you still praise the Lord with that mouth. Amen. It's better than you've got all these wonderful things, and you're still alive, and yet you say this about God with your mouth, or about somebody else. Get off the social media if all it makes you want to do is cuss. See, God doesn't, he doesn't give you this solution to all the problems in life, as in, you do this, he does that, boom, magic book. The Bible's not a magic book. It's a love letter. But he does give you a powerful medicine that's going to help you guard your mind. Proverbs 4:23 says, be diligent to guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. The springs of life come from the heart. The problem is not the stuff on the outside, the problem is the stuff on the inside, and we've got to fight it that way. And he's saying, Lord, hallow you in my heart. We all have a heart issue. Guard your mind and guide your life. Right? Walk circumspectly, not as unwise, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. So what does he promise you? You just do this, follow this formula, give $114.19, because Psalm 114, 19 says, you know, none of that. Just do this, follow this formula and all that, and then everything works. No. Not what he says. He says, I'll give you something that will guard your mind, guard your heart, guide your life as you encounter all those pains, pressures, and problems. Because then, when that happens, you have something the world can't have just by having money. Why do you think it is when you talk to people with money or smarts or a career and things like that, they don't need Jesus? Because you're selling them the wrong Jesus. But when they finally have their children mess up, or they lose their job, or they lose their health, who are they going to look to? When everything is dark, who do you look to? The one with the light. So when you've gone through issues and you still praising Jesus, they want some of that Jesus. I want some of that Jesus. I need some of that Jesus. How about you? Amen. Amen. How about you? Wow, got worse instead of better. How about you? Amen. Don't you need that? You may not need it right now, but when you get out of the parking lot and you find out that I kicked your tires out, I don't know, I'm making stuff up. But you know what I'm saying? He said, well, I just beat you up, little man. But yeah, but what if I was 6'10 and 500 pounds? Well, then I call the cops. What if the cop was my brother? I mean, you know, you could go around this all day. You could make excuses, or you could see God as he really is. And all I have to do is think about Jesus. He could have just came down here and just, da-da, and I'm this. That's what Satan tried to get him to do. Jump off the thing. Turn the stones to bread. Bow down to me. You won't have to go to the cross. But that's not the life. And we say we want to follow Jesus. It's not follow Jesus to make everything good. It's that when everything is bad, we're still following him, and that's good. I want the presence, not the promise. I want to feel his presence. Because you can have yourself set up so well, and there's still going to be relational issues, I guarantee you. There's still going to be mental issues, guilt, all kinds of things. Ask Solomon. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. This medicine is designed to get you to focus your eyes on God. And what is the medicine? It is the first petition. I'm going to show you what I mean. Yes, you need to cry out to God about your issues. But when you start, now watch this. When you I want to How do we transform? By the renewing of our mind. You ready to renew your mind a little bit? Anybody? Amen. When you start with your problems, you're limiting your lens to just those issues. It's what you wake up with. It's what you think about. And what you go to bed with. You're praying to God, but you're basically just centered and focused on those problems, and so you're really mostly concerned with the second three petitions. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be focused on them. Jesus says to focus on them. But you're cutting out half of it, and you're shrink-wrapping everything around those problems, and the lens of your life just becomes fret instead of faith. Jesus isn't asking you to stop praying for your needs. He wants you to understand that part of your victory is to realize your life is more than those issues. So someone you love dies. Is your life just that? No. Am I saying ignore it? No. But we grieve with those as those that have hope, not as those that don't have hope. So you lost your job. Is your job your life? You're going to find out when you lose it. I mean, these things are wonderful. He says to pray for them. But that's not all your life is. God intends you to be involved with things, in the mundane things. These daily needs. Why do we have to have bread? Why did he create an intestinal system? Why do we have to have toilets? What? Come on. All this stuff, bubble gum and trees. Where? I don't understand. I know you don't understand. I don't either. But look at the cross. Jesus wants you involved in the mundane things of life and the boring things. Oh, Christianity's so boring. If you're fighting sin, that's not boring. Because right now, whoever the biggest guy in this place is or whatever, and I'm probably the smallest guy in this place, and if someone's that big, anybody basically, starts getting up on me, starts fighting me, I'm not going to be bored. Right? Right? You're much bigger than me. But if I start getting on you right now, you're not going to be bored. You're going to have something to do. Maybe in 5 seconds you'll be bored. Put me down. But you get my point, right? Fighting sin is not boring. And he wants you to be involved in boring things. Yes, mundane, boring, tedious. Whew, yesterday. Tedious. Oh. It's the last day of school. You're making me do work. Come on. I don't want you as a teacher ever. Right? Tedious and troubling aspects of life. He wants you involved in those. Why? Because the battle is on every front. So if you can show what it's like to hallow his name in those situations, there's going to be somebody else that can, right? And it's just giving glory to God anyway. I feel God in here. Amen. I don't say that. I've never ever said that in a sermon. I don't think I have. But here we go. He also intends you to be involved with the beautiful, the glorious, the thrilling, and the magnificence of this life with him. Even the most dull, dreary, and depressing situations are better when you know and experience God in them. I read a story of where a man was in a prison camp for 18 years and shoveling poop and all that. And he was Chinese, and he only knew one song. I come to the garden alone, where the dew is still on the roses, as he's shoveling this for 18 years. I mean, we repeat, don't stop believing for 30 years, you know what I'm saying? But that's all we know. Imagine what this guy's like. He's doing all this, and he would be, and the story's amazing. I wish I had it in front of me. But, you know, there'd be dead people that he knew in there, and he's shoveling them up and all that, and he kept himself going. Sometimes a dominating truth can keep you going, and this is the truth because this is what you're created for, to hallow his name. So how does it happen? By truly understanding what the first petition is. Now here's something I'm going to say. Everybody's going to go, amen. No matter how great your issues are, God is greater. Amen. Amen. We know that. I'm sure you agree with that. Still, you can be distracted from the greatness of God by the situations of life. They appear bigger. They appear more right on top of you right now. Yes, I trust in God, and you may, and it may be true. But the first petition is meant to focus your eyes on God so that you see life through the lens of God instead of seeing God through the lens of life. So we see these situations and they're in front of us and we see God as impotent or he's just clouded or he doesn't really care about me. He's over here somewhere and this thing is in your face. So this prayer is to put God in your face so that you see that? Right? You're saying, yeah, but I don't get it. It's not happening, man. And I saw you yesterday. I know. But this is the fundamental difference that makes all the difference in your life and in your prayers. The first petition is a prayer to make that happen. Get it? God, I want to holy with my life. I want to do your will. I want to act as if your kingdom has come into my life. Lord, I have needs. Lord, relational needs, financial needs, forgiveness needs, holiness needs. Lord, please help me as I'm trying to work on those. Help me with those things so that I can hollow you with my life, so that my life will be holy ground wherever I go, and it will sweep other people up. And you're saying, but this is just church. I know! So if you saw it in me, then you'd believe. People don't believe because they don't see it. If I saw it, I believe. Here's Jesus' face right here. He's not a nice guy all the time. Right? Most of the time he's okay. But Jesus wants people that are Christians to live a life so that when someone else is yanking their chain, Jesus comes out anyway. You find out what's inside you when your tree is shaken. Or as our friend Dan says, when you're a squozen, what juice comes out. Because if I took, remember guys, I took an orange and I threw it against the wall, grape juice ain't coming out. I cut that orange, right? Peach juice isn't coming out. Right? No matter what you do to that orange, step on it, slice it, squeeze it, poke it, throw it, kill it, whatever, what comes out? Orange juice. And so when Jesus' juice is flowing through you, that's what comes out, despite the things of life, and that preaches. Yeah, I want you to make $1 million. And tithe it to us? Yes, I want you to have perfect health. Yes, I want this thing. Yes, of course. But a lot of that isn't going to happen until the next life. Some happens in this life. And are you going to be happy when someone else gets blessed and you get burdened? I know that's hard. So what does it have to do? You have to keep praying about it every day. Lord, hallowed be thy name. When things aren't going well for me, and they are going well for the next guy. That shows Jesus. We're not jealous. We're not envious. Right? Of others. We're happy. Because we're hallowing Christ. The first petition is a prayer to make that happen. You might not understand that. Maybe it's just something of the ranting, raving of a lunatic. If I'm going to be a lunatic, Paul said, let me be a lunatic for Jesus. It may seem quite irrelevant to you right now. And that's okay. Because there's different degrees of relevance of this right now. And you might think right now, well, this is it. And then, you know, you go and you forget it. But see, that's the point. Your problems are screaming for your greatest attention. I can't wait to get out of here because I have an appointment. I need to get out of here because I've got this date. I can't wait to do this because, you know, my tire is flat or whatever it may be. This is great. I know I'm supposed to come to church on Sunday. I'm getting a little something out of it. This is good. You know, I really mean it. I do love Jesus and all that. But tomorrow I have the blood test. Tomorrow the insurance company comes and does the adjustment. Tomorrow, I get that letter from the IRS. Have you ever got one that goes like this? Looks like an inverse pyramid. You don't want one of those. But the loudest screamer in the world is your problems, your situation. But you're asking God to make hallowing name the most important, relevant thing in your life. I know it isn't happening purposely all the time or perfectly. That's why you got to purposely pray it all the time. You're asking God to be the great value in every area of your life. That you would trust and treasure him above all things, no matter what things may come your way. Amen? You're praying again for him to be hallowed in your heart. See, this is it. This is the big picture of it all. Why am I doing this? Why do we do this? What's the thing for the Christian life? What's it all about that you would hallow his name? Why did Jesus come live a sinless life, die on a cross, rise again, and he's coming again so that the world will hallow his name? And so right now, if you're a Christian, that's what your goal in life should be. As being a doctor, as being a boyfriend, as being, you know, in sickness and in health, as being this, as being that, as drinking water, as eating potato chips, whatever you're doing, that you would hallow his name in doing it. You're saying, how does that hallow his name? I'm taking a shower because he created that stuff. So there must be a way to do it. Maybe be thinking about your wife instead of somebody else. Maybe about not using, sitting in there for an hour and a half when your water bill is going to be $100. Whatever it may be, it can be different in every situation. The point is, that's the goal. So if someone is doing that, it also helps you get along with other people. There are people that I don't theologically agree with on everything. Some of them are sitting here. But I don't doubt their commitment. And I know they hollow his name. And that's what the goal of their life is. And that's what they teach other people to. And so, man, I am super good with that. And that's a forgiving spirit, see? And then I'm not giving way to gossip and slander and just evil thoughts and machinations and malice and protecting myself and projecting on others. And someone doing some math here? When he becomes that, when he becomes hallowed in your heart, then you're going to see your problems as opportunities to pray and worship God through them. Boy, it's a tough day. I'm having a tough day, but I'm praising God. And you hear people say that, and you think, yeah, you're just being, you know, sanctimonious and all that. But you know what? You got to start somewhere. And he says, you know where you start with this? You start in your prayers. When? Every time. Where? Right at the beginning. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Heavenly Father, I know your great purpose for me is for me to worship you because that's what will make me feel, yeah, feel my satisfaction in you. John Piper says it this way, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. I want to hallow God. That's what I'm going to do in eternity. That's where I am going. I want to start right now. I know I don't do it perfectly, so you pray for it every day, every time. And then you could get the other prayer and say, Lord, it's not happening this way. A little repentance in your prayer, right? A little confession in your prayer. Lord, I have needs and all that, but Lord, I know my great need is to hallow your name. And so, Lord, I feel like I'm not getting enough money from my job, and so I'm tempted to steal, and I don't want to do that. Lead me not in temptation, but deliver me from evil. Lord, give me a raise. Lord, I am not satisfied with my wife, and I just don't know what's going on, or I'm not satisfied with my husband, and I just don't seem to love him as much anymore. But Lord, I know I've made this commitment, and I want to hallow your name, and I want to be somebody that shows what righteousness and stick-to-itiveness. So help me to discern how I can make them as important as I make myself, and I have a forgiving spirit. Lord, tomorrow I take the interview for that job, and I really want the job, and I know you want me to work, and I haven't done this in a little while, and Lord, actually, I'm asking you to help me, Lord. Hallowed be your name. Whatever you decide, that's it, but Lord, I'm going to prepare like it's all on me, and I'm praying like it's all on you. Help me. And then when it happens or it doesn't happen, you hallow him. You use it as an opportunity to pray and worship God through the problems. And that's hallowing him in all things. And that gives you a greater sense of God, and it transforms your pain into praise. I didn't say it changes all the pain. It transforms it from pain to praise. Isn't it amazing? Haven't you ever had that happen? Has anybody had an experience like that? Where there's been pain. But even though there's gravel and ashes in your mouth, you're still praising the Lord with those lips. That's a beautiful thing. Only God can do that. And God will help people to see that. Say, look, yes, we're all hypocrites, but not Jesus, not my son, not me. And these people aren't arrived yet, but they're coming this way. Join with us. Follow me. See, only God can do that, and he wants to. Do you believe it? He wants to. It's the first thing Jesus says you should pray for. Hallowed be thy name. Not just, oh Lord, you're so wonderful and all that. It doesn't mean just in that prayer. It means it's a prayer for that. It's the petition, and all the others are serving that petition. Lord, I want a job. Why? So that I don't steal, so I can hallow your name. Lord, I'm so angry at this person. Lord, but I know that I can't just let it sit here and fester and they don't even know about it. Lord, help me to do Mark 11:25 and Luke 17:3 to go with them. Don't let the process of unforgiveness take hold of my soul. If thy brother trespass, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. How many times? 70 times 7 in a day, which means, come on. Forgiven people become forgiving people. You're saying, but it's 60 years ago and they're dead. Lord, my heart is to forgive them. Lord, I'm looking in the mirror and I see unforgiveness. And unforgiveness does not inherit the kingdom of God. Period. Exclamation point. Light bulb. The first thing Jesus says you should pray for. And none of us get it right all the time. I don't. It takes a lot of prayer. That's why Jesus says you should always be praying this right up front. Yes, you should go to God for your needs. Amen. And yes, He grants them. It's wonderful. No matter how you're currently doing, no matter how well you are, how set up you are, you do have needs. And some of them you don't even realize. Some areas where you think you're set up, it's going to be sucked out. Sometimes not. Amen. Sometimes your need is to help somebody meet their needs. I'm not asking you to feel guilty where you ought not to feel guilty. If you have blessings, enjoy those blessings. Amen. Don't do them at the expense of God. You should always be involved with praying to God about those second three petitions. Yes, always. And you need to be praying for God for His kingdom to come. That's those second two of the first three petitions. For Jesus to return, for the divine drama to be fully realized, right? The consummation. Lord, come back. But in front of all that, on top of all that, is that first petition. All the others serve that purpose as a means to hallow His name. You're saying, not just, if I don't get those needs met, then I won't hallow His name. You're saying, Lord, I'm praying for this. I want to hallow Your name whether I get those things or not. If I have to be beaten, burdened, bare, and broke, I'm going to hallow Your name. If you're not even praying it, it ain't happening, I guarantee you. But if you're praying it, it's beginning to happen no matter what else is going on. Because one day we will fully do it. And you're saying, Thy kingdom come. Lord, come into my heart in such a way that I begin to hallow You in my life and do Your will. Lord, these are my needs. But whether I get them or not, Lord, I'm hallowing Your name. And Lord, I do want a forgiving spirit. And Lord, I do want to get away from this sin. And Lord, I do need to have my physical, relational, emotional, spiritual needs met, Lord. But all those are for the goal of hallowing Your name. So Lord, draw the big circle and start filling in the pieces. Lord, I need You. Now think about this clearly. We're finishing up here. Jesus is teaching you to pray that God would help you to hallow Him. First thing, Jesus says, pray this way. I'm going to teach you how to pray. You know the most important thing to pray for? The first thing to pray for, the thing you always ought to be praying for, is for to hallow His name. That's your first need. To see God as the center and focus of your life. Don't put God first in your life. Put Him at the center of your life. Because you can put Him first in your life, and I get what people mean, and I want to be charitable here. Most people mean the right thing by that. But you don't just put Him first and then just check off all the other boxes. Because that's what I would do. I'd say grace and still eat, you know, gravy. And potatoes. And beans. And the candy bar. And the cupcake. And my wife's cupcake. And then go back for seconds and have some more gravy. Right? And, you know, that could be good for you or not good for you, depending on who you are, but it's not always so good for me. God is the center and focus of your life. To see life through the lens of God, and you need God to help you do that. No matter what your needs are, no matter what you're facing, you're going to be better off, much better off, if God is your filter and your focus, your lens. Isn't that what we need? And this first petition is a prayer for just that. Ask your Heavenly Father to help you hallow Him in your heart and in your life. And then you can pray for the rest of your needs as you ought to, through that lens. I mean, the child asks for this or asks for that. And sometimes mom says yes, sometimes dad says no or otherwise. But they keep coming to the source. That's what it means by childlike faith, not don't know anything, not, you know, undeveloped, and oh, I just love Jesus, and you don't want to be like Him. But that dependence, that hallowed be Thy name, right? That I'm holding on to mommy and daddy because I know they're the ones that are going to help me. They're the only ones that can protect me. They're the only ones that, I don't know these other people, right? Even when you're a grandparent and that baby first gets cognizant enough to know you and you live in a different state, I know this, and you walk up and they hide behind mama, of course it kills you. And it takes them a while to get to know you. And this is the way you got to get to know Jesus, through your prayers, through your needs. But the first need is to hallow His name. And see, we make that just a phrase, hallowed be Thy name. But it's dynamic and it is powerful. And if you understand what He's really trying to say, to learn to trust and to treasure Him, it will become power in your life. And then, yes, you'll have the tests. of how it is. But you're going to have those tests anyway. Jesus says, in the midst of all the pain, all the pressures, all the problems, your most important need is to stay supremely focused on God, to hallow His name. And so, the most important weapon for your life is to pray that the Father would help you do just that. Jesus says you should always be praying that. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. That's the aim of the Christian life. Heavenly Father, indeed. As we walk through the rest of today, Lord, let this be a dominating thought in our hearts and in our lives, that before we do anything, there would be that check there. Is this going towards the kingdom of God or away from the kingdom of God? Is this a means of hallowing His name? And Lord, even in the mundane things of life, not that we have to do all these incredible, exciting things, but whether we're doing tedious things, troublesome things, or triumphant and thrilling things, that the focus will be on You. Lord, not that we have to just be thinking about You and then trying to multitask, but that the great overarching power and aim, focus, and goal of our life would be to hallow You in what we do, because that is where we'll find our real satisfaction. Help us to know that in our experience. This we pray for Your glory. And in Your name, Lord Jesus, amen.